My name is Jim Bingaman, and it's my joy and privilege to serve as the area director for CBMC. CBMC stands for Christian Businessmen's Connection, and it's our mission and vision to help men, to work with men right where they are, and help them become the man that God created men to be. Husbands to their wives, fathers to their children, men of integrity out there in the marketplace. And it's my joy and privilege to introduce our speaker to you today. Our speaker is Jim Schock. He needs no introduction in this area because he's so well known. But I'll tell you a little bit about him. Jim is the owner and salesman of South Alabama Auto Sales, a business that he founded in 1978. In his day-to-day business, Jim travels a great deal, generally going to auctions and sometimes to dealers' lots, looking for cars to put on his lot for resale and sometimes looking for a specific car for one of his repeat customers. My family's been one of his repeat customers for a number of years. I think the last four vehicles that my wife and I have driven, Jim helped us with those purchases. Prior to that, there were other vehicles that Jim secured for us and helped us with. He got a vehicle or two for my son, so our family has enjoyed doing business with Jim for quite a number of years. We found him very dependable, reliable, very honest, and it's been a pleasure to do business with him. Jim was born in Mobile and grew up with five sisters. He graduated from Murphy High School in 1966. While attending Murphy, he considered going to the seminary with the world view that being a preacher would have been a great job. Giving up on that idea, he attended the University of South Alabama for one quarter. And for the next 10 years, Jim had a hard time finding himself. And he had a variety of positions. He worked for Sears in their automotive and jewelry department. He worked for Dell Champs and Bellis Hess and sold chemicals for a chemical firm and was in the record selling business in Dallas for 2 years. During that time, he sold Capitol Records for a period of time. He started his own business, which subsequently failed. He entered the car selling business working for Spring Hill Toyota and eventually started his own business in 1978, which is now South Alabama Auto Sales. He married Rosemary Seiple in 1968, and the Lord has blessed them with four sons and two daughters, ranging in age from 28 to 49. One of their sons, JJ, who is now 28 years old, is with us today, and he was born with special needs. Jim will be sharing the joy JJ has brought into their lives. One of Jim's hobbies has been to collect baseball cards and currently has in his possession literally thousands of them. So please put your hands together and join with me in inviting Jim Schock up to the speaker's platform to share with us. Thank you.
We're going to be recording this.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello. I appreciate all y'all coming, and I think Jim soft-sold a few of the things, but that was okay. Because prior to my meeting Jesus, I had a lot of corruption in my life. I appeared to be one thing, and I wasn't. Things that he didn't include. For about 3 years, I got stoned every single day, lacking a few. I took the world on. Part of growing up when I was in going to church and thought about seminary, I was involved every Sunday in something at church if I could. And it was me trying to please God, trying to draw God to me. And after a while, it got just empty. And I knew about God. I did not know Him. I had never really met Him. I was trying to be religious to a point. And that's what you did on Sunday, but during the rest of the week you did what you really wanted to do. And I heard somebody say one time that they knew everything they could about Arnold Palmer, how he played golf and everything, and how he approached certain shots. And he got to meet him one day, and he realized he just knew about him. Well, I knew about Jesus. I did not know Jesus. And the culmination came when my family was in South Florida with my sister and brother-in-law. And at that point, I was about determined that I wanted out of the marriage. I wanted out of everything. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And little did I know that they were praying for me. And the last person on my heart that day was Jesus. But I was on His heart. And I'm riding down the road, and He spoke to me as audible as I've ever heard anything. And the Holy Spirit said, "Jesus died for your sins." And I had an instant change. My whole perception changed. I wanted to make things work. I did not want to get out of the marriage. And at that point, I had two children. And I tell them that the first two were before Christ, the second were after Christ. But I had heard Billy Graham say on TV, maybe it was the night before, that God stands at the, that we, He knocks on our heart. And He may never stop knocking, but our hearts become so hard we can't hear it as time goes on. And that was where the transformation started. And about 30 days later, I had a friend named Leon Sawyer who owned a car lot. And I'd sold Leon cars for years. And he'd say, "Jim, when you gonna come go to church with me?" And I said, "This Sunday, Leon." And it was at Cottage Hill Baptist, and I never intended to go back. It was kind of getting somebody off my back who had come in there, and I went in, and that was in February of 77. And we were up there, and he said, "Don't you think you ought to go down front?" And I answered, "No." Well, God had another plan. Fred Wolf made another appeal. He said, "I think there's somebody else here that needs to come down front." And I went down weeping. And God started a walk that day that was really interesting. Satan hated it. I was in the car business, and it was probably the worst month I'd ever had. And I had one car, and it was sold, and I was supposed to deliver it Monday morning. Well, the devil says, "We'll find out where you are." Somebody stole the car that night. And I didn't have insurance on it, and it broke me, and it forced me to go back to work. I'd worked at Spring Hill Toyota, and I'd been a pretty good car salesman. And I went back to work at Spring Hill because of this. I had no other options. I really thought, "Well, God, you're not going to send me back to where all the sinning and everything kind of home-based." But that's where He sent me. And it was during the I Found It campaign. And I went back to work at Spring Hill Toyota. And by the way, I never did find that car to this day. But God gave me a second blessing that day. I put cigarettes down and I never picked them up again. And instead of the probably $1,500, $1,800 I probably lost on that car, it's probably been $30,000 or $40,000 worth of cigarettes. So Satan, man, God's able to do what you try to bring evil, God brings good. But when I went back to work, the first 2 weeks, it was really odd because I was used to buying and selling, and I thought I could do it. And I hadn't sold anything. And I got up Friday morning, and I said, Lord, I've never done anything like that before. I said, if you don't sell a car today, I'm going to figure I missed you. And I went to the wrong thing. And so we were on the floor. We had different shift times. And a guy walked in named Jim Amist, who was an anesthesiologist here in Mobile. And he said, I was on my way down to Nissan, and the Lord told me to pull into Toyota because at the time they were just a block apart. And he walked in and he said, he looked at me, he said, I'd like to buy a car from you today. And I said, well, I'm not on the floor right now. Let me get you somebody who can help you. He said, no, I want to buy one from you. I said, do I know you? He said, no, but I see I had the I found it button on. He said, you found it, I found it too. And I sold him the car, got it delivered, and I can still see his little white courier truck. This is 40 plus years ago, sitting in front of the building. And I said, now I'll tell you the rest of the story, because I never even mentioned to him what I had prayed that morning. And he and I became friends for a while. He moved, I think, to California. I think he was a resident at the time it was here. And he used to do something funny. He said when he would be in the operating room and one of the doctors would use the Lord's name in vain, he'd just kind of look up and say, you know, you really ought to talk to somebody, you know. And they got to the point. They didn't want, you know, if he was in there, they'd... If they said anything, it'd be under their breath. But Jim and I became friends for a short time, and it was the first introduction. And as I look at things and how they connect, we went down to Christ Episcopal Church at that time. It was during an Easter time, and they had a Wednesday luncheon. And anyway, it was several years later that God took me to that church and put me in there, and I'm actually at an extension of that where we went to Christ Anglican now. But as he and I were friends, and as things went on, there wasn't much more with him, but God started changing everything in my life. All my perceptions started changing. And when I joined Cottage Hill Baptist Church, which was really that February day, a strange, because I never intended to go back. I intended to go there once. And I guess one 20-year period is what God meant. Because I went there for 20 years, and what a blessing it was there to be taught by so many phenomenal Christians. And there was Charles Wood was one of the teachers on Sunday, and I mean, I was like a sponge. I wanted everything I could hear. Instead of wanting to know about Christ, I wanted to know him and about him. I wanted to know everything, and it was such a fabulous blessing to have teaching like that. And after 20 years, the Lord asked me one day, he said, son, what have you done with all I've given you? And he sent me over to the little Episcopal church that I'm talking about, and then eventually over here to Christ Anglican, because at that point, I started trying to give. more of what I had learned. And there, you know, y'all will hear me use a lot of cliches, but it's just the simplicity of trying to learn what some of the things are. Some of the words are hard to just comprehend, just the basics. So God gives me some, you know, just different things that really do tend to mark who I am and where I am. When I was going to speak here, Jim asked me if I would consider speaking. And this is not my mostest favorite thing. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And I went home that day, and I picked up a David Jeremiah book, Signs of Life. And on that day, anyway, I'm going to just read one thing, and it says, me, a keynote speaker. But I have to just, I have to work just to get my spouse and kids to listen to me. Is that right, guys? Who in the world would want to hear what I have to say? And the one thing that my prayer is, it's not about me. It's about what He has done in me. And a lot of the things that have happened over the years, I had a guy that I tried to help a lot in the car business who cost me about $150,000 that I had put up over 10 years. And God opened other doors at that time, but I had to basically look at cars that I knew that were worth the money. I had the experience. I didn't have the, could not sell them that day, and had to walk away. And that's hard, especially when you know what they're worth. And there were days in my office, I would get up in the morning and just weep, say, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? Because I could go out that morning and sell two or three cars and make some pretty good money and lose $3,000 or $4,000 in the afternoon. I remember asking a friend of mine that I'd sold cars to about a car one day, and I said, I need to sell it. He said, well, I really don't need it, Jimmy. I said, and I probably had $5,000, $4,500, $5,000 in it, and I said, what would you give for it? He said, well, you know, if I just had to buy one, I'd probably give $3,500. Handed him the keys. I said, write me a check. And it was slow death at that point. And I can remember sitting on my floor, laying on my floor in my office at home, and the Lord said one day, I'm going to restore you. But at the point, you know, who am I trusting? What I can do or what He can do through me? And it had to get to the point that it was about Him and not about me. And He has taken care of me. And, you know, I look at so many of the things that happened in the lessons, people stealing things off cars. Coming in the morning, see a hood cracked, a battery's gone, a radio's torn out. And a girl asked me one night at church, she said, have you asked God what He's trying to teach you? I said, teach me. She says, yeah. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? He said, well, son, whose stuff is it? I said, Father, it's all yours. He says, well, who are they stealing from? I said, you, Father. He said, have you missed a meal? Have you missed a house payment? And, of course, you know, you try to hold it, but you can't. It's just tough stuff that He has to teach me. And I'm a slow learner. I'm a real slow learner. And the car that was stolen that time, another lady asked me one night, says, well, have you asked God to bless these people? And I said, do what? And he said, have you asked God to bless you? And I think it probably went something like, God, I want you to bless these people that stole that car. The mouth spoke it, but the heart didn't. And so much of what I tried to do prior to coming to Christ was behavior modification, trying to act right, trying to do right. And there's a statement I make a lot, when you ain't right, you can't act right. And I wasn't right, so I wasn't acting right. But when I got a transformed heart, when God gave me a new direction, new perception, I mean, I can think so much about what I would have done if the family had split and what I would have done to have hurt my wife and how God, I'm talking about instantly, my desire was to do nothing but to restore. And I tell her time to time, if I'd have been her, I'd have put a bullet in my head and gone back to sleep, called the cops the next day. But she was patient. She loved me. And she prayed me into the kingdom. And so, you know, there's hope. A lot of y'all folks out there probably have prayed for people and continuous. God hears these prayers, but that they don't always change right away. But I really believe the day that God touched my heart, it was, choose you this day whom you'll serve, or I wouldn't be standing here today. I've had two open heart surgeries. The first one I was supposed to die from. And yet, God says, no, not yet. The doctors were wrong. So, as much as we need them, they're not always right. And then we'll get to the other part of my story. Because God's been so merciful. And so often what he's done, I hadn't thought about it, but he's done it anyway. He already had a plan. And he said, I've got a plan for you to prosper. Well, I have the 6 children. Jamie was my first. And had he had Down syndrome, as my 6th child had, I honestly believe I would have said, I'm going to get a pack of cigarettes. I don't think I could have taken it. I don't believe I would have been able to work with it. But when he was born, this is how God gives you new visions, new abilities to see the blessing and not the curse, because he says, I know the plans I have for you, and it's plans to bless you. Well, when JJ was born, he was blue as a Smurf. And the doctors gave him oxygen. He turned pink. Well, I thought everything was fine. And Fay Roberts was the doctor that came to check him. And she called me on my phone, and she said, Mr. Shock, this is Fay Roberts. I've seen your son, JJ, and I believe he has Down syndrome. I said, are you sure? And she said, no. She said, I have to do a test. I said, well, you do the test. She says, yeah. I said, what was it? She said, I won't know for a week. And God gave me a picture of a little child in a swing, probably 2 or 3 years old, as he smiles at me now, at 2 or 3 years old, in a swing on a spring day with a smile from here to here. And I said, well, praise God. And she said, pardon me? I said, well, praise God. And I went to the hospital and saw her, and she wept and I wept. Because, like I said, had it been the first, God knew. But even from there, 6 weeks later, the cardiologist had looked at him and said, because JJ weighed 7'6", I think he was, when he was born. And when he went to the hospital 6 weeks later, he weighed 7 pounds. What was it, less than that? Well, okay, just under 7. And his heart rate was like 155, his respiration. I mean, he was like a marathon runner 24 hours a day. And Dr. Mayer is a good doctor, but he has kind of a dry sense. He says, if you don't take your son to Birmingham to have heart surgery, he's going to die. And I said, well, Lord, you've given me this gift. Because he told me, he said, I've given you 5 normal children. but I've given you one perfect child. And I said, well, Lord, does that mean I'm going to die? Because I called in every favor I could. I knew a lot of doctors in Dallas and called around, and they all said, hot shots up in Birmingham. And that was Dr. Pacifico. And we went up there and went through the surgery, and it went great, and got back here. And he had a stitch that got infected. And for the second time in a few weeks, I heard, if this has gotten into his sternum, we probably can't do anything. And it was going to be a week before the culture would tell what had happened. And I already felt like somebody had slammed me against a wall over the last few weeks. But they didn't, it went well. But one of the things up in Birmingham that we got to minister to people, because I said, Lord, I guess we need to go to Birmingham, when I did do it. And there was a child there by the name of Nathaniel. And he had multiple problems. And I looked for him after his surgery, because when you get pretty close to those people, and they were believers, and I looked for him, and they said, and one of the sister-in-laws had left me a note, because when JJ was born, like I said, God said he was the perfect child. A turkey sometime, but he's a perfect child. They said our perfect child not only made it through surgery, but he made it straight to the arms of Jesus. And I had to stop at that point and say, Lord, why did you spare my son? This was their only child. I said, you've given me other children. But obviously it's... you ought to see JJ when he starts to minister, just being JJ, just doing what he does just by breathing, inhaling and exhaling. But at the same time, JJ had the heart surgery. My daughter Lainey had kidney surgery. That was when the boy hooked me so bad for the loss. The IRS was coming to do a spot check and stayed 13 months, and I kindly called him a bald-faced liar. Because I said, you said you were going to spot check. And they tore every piece of paper I had and never did. I mean, came up with some minuscule things that they just said, these aren't right, but we're going to make you pay them anyway. But each time God has, the challenge has come, God has prepared an escape, a way to go through it. Because like I said, as I laid there with all these things on me, I look back and I don't even want to think about them most times. They were so trying. It was every day, it was almost like, what's going to happen today? And one other time in my life, prior to coming to Christ, the day I married, we actually have the 28th and 29th of February, so we only have to celebrate every 4 years. Our 50th is coming up February 28th. But the day after I married, we drove to Dallas. I had a job out there. My oldest sister died, so we drove back. My mother died within the year. My dad died within 2 years. And several mentors. So God prepared me years before this, even though I wasn't his child. I had been born He had given me life, but the new life, the new heart, I hadn't experienced. And it was tough. But in each case, each time I went through all these situations, God showed up somehow in some way, and as you look back, you go, wow, you were there, weren't you, Father? So, if you know about Jesus and don't know Him, my prayer today is ask Him to reveal Himself. Because to know about Him is not enough, and it's empty. It becomes work. It's a struggle. But once you know Him, He'll give you the power for every minute of every day to do everything you need to do. And I'm going to stop there.
Put a clock up here so that Jim wouldn't go over time. I think he had more to say. Sorry you stopped a little short. But,
I've got a few more.
You know, the scripture says in the book of James, we should count it all joy when we experience different trials and tests and temptations. The next verse says you got to know some things in order to do that. And Jim has certainly had his share of trials and tests and difficulties. But he knows what we need to know. That for the child of God, the troubles of this world are not to be compared with the future that awaits the person that just doesn't know about God, but actually has entered into a relationship with God through Christ. And in a room this size, I would imagine there's many of you that somewhere along the way, somebody either shared it with you or the Lord revealed it to you, but you realize that you needed some help. I was 34 years old when I'd never read the Bible. And I knew a lot about God. I would imagine everybody in this room were in the Bible Belt. I would imagine every one of us knows a lot about God. But that's not enough. But at the age of 34, when I arrived in Mobile, I knew a lot about God. All the essentials of the faith I had heard, and I acknowledged them being true, but nobody ever questioned me. Nobody ever confronted me. I had a lot of people invite me to church, but finally a couple invited me to my wife and I to participate in a Bible study. I didn't have a Bible. I'd never read the Bible. And when my wife said she volunteered our house, I could have wrung her neck. The last thing I was wanting to be involved in was a home Bible study. We went to church, went to Sunday school, but home Bible study, I'd never even heard there was such a thing. But Judy volunteered our house, so I didn't have any options. But for the first time, be exposed to God's Word, which is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word began to do a number on me. And that's how I came to a knowledge of the truth, that it wasn't enough to just know about Him. I had to know Him intimately and personally and exclusively, and realize that's why Jesus died, because I was a sinner. I was born a sinner, you were born a sinner. And there's only two ways to exit planet Earth. Scripture says in Hebrew or in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And I was a dead man walking. Anybody who is outside the family of God through experiencing new birth are dead men walking. Yeah. I didn't know that. There's a popular music group today entitled by that name. They obviously don't know that either. They wouldn't be going around the country playing their guitars and everything else in front of huge audiences if they knew the truth of that. The only other way to exit planet Earth is to die in Christ. And in order to die in Christ, you've got to acknowledge while you're still living that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And if you've heard the story about Jesus Christ going to the Calvary and experiencing separation from God the Father, and he did that not for his sin, but for my sin and your sin. And God was satisfied with his sacrifice. He performed the once and once for all sacrifice for sin, making it possible for those who would acknowledge their need as sinners and acknowledge that he is the one and only Savior. Jesus himself said, no man comes to the Father except by me. It's not a matter of being a member of a church. It's not a matter of how much money you put in the offering plate or how beautifully you might sing in the choir. None of that. It's all immaterial. The simple basis is, what have you done with Jesus? You've got to come to God on his terms, and those are his terms. You've got to acknowledge your need as a sinner for the Savior. You got to realize that your sin is what caused Jesus to spend 6 hours on the cross, nailed to the cross, a sword in his side, death, burial, and resurrection. That was because of my sin and your sin. You got to know that and accept that as God's provision for your new life, your salvation. And you do that by just simply being willing to repent. You don't have to clean your act up, whatever your habits or morals are at the time. God will take you just where you are if you'll just accept him on his terms. Those are his terms. And then he'll start changing us through the inside out. And some of that change comes as a result of being tried and tested and tempted. And isn't that a beautiful picture right there? JJ with his arms around his dad. Yeah. I've known Jim for quite a long time. And I know some of the troubled waters that he's experienced over the years. But I've never seen him or heard him lose his joy. It's different than happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy is the joy of the Lord. That's a part of being born again by the Holy Spirit of God. At your table, there's an envelope in the center of the table. If somebody would be so kind as to open that envelope, it's got some cards in it. I've got about 12:48. I know some of you have to be back at the office. We'll have you out of here a few minutes before 1. But if somebody would distribute those cards around the table, we'd like you to fill those out. Even if you've been here before and registered that, we were tape recording what Jim shared. And if you'd like to have a CD or an MP3 of what Jim shared, I'm going to have to listen to it again because I don't hear very well with my hearing aids. But if you'd like to listen to it again, or maybe you have a friend or a family member that you'd like to hear what Jim shared, So if you'd like a CD or an MP3, fill out the card, give us your contact information, and there's a place on there where you could check if you want a CD. Check that, and if you'd prefer an MP3, write MP3 in that same area. On the back table where you paid your money and got your plate, on the back table are some resources. They're free, that are available to you on your way out. I'll make reference to a couple of items. There's a little blue, we call it a track. It's entitled Steps to Peace with God. One thing that I've learned since 1972, when I experienced new life in Christ and started reading the Bible. I didn't know it, but Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says we were enemies of God. That's how God sees us until we come to Him on His terms. Enemies of God. That's Romans 5, 10. Romans 5, 8 says, but God demonstrated His love toward us in that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God wants each and every one of us to experience the new life that He offers. This little pamphlet, Steps to Peace with God, will explain pictorially and verbally how a person can experience peace with God. No longer be an enemy, but be actually a son of God, adopted into His forever family. Feel free to pick one or more of those up. If you're okay with your position, maybe you've got a family member or a work associate, feel free to pick that up and take it with you. If you're not sure just where you are in your spiritual journey, there's a booklet back there entitled Lost, L-O-S-T, written by a local Mobile businessman who came to Christ at a very late age, and he has a concern that everybody pass from death unto life. So he's written this little booklet. Feel free to pick that up, one or more copies. If you're not sure about your condition, you read this, it's full of scripture, and you'll know whether you're saved or lost. There's a man in the room who a year or two ago heard somebody share their testimony, and the person said that he was going to share things that would be appropriate to speaking to Christians. And then he spent the last half of his time, he said, now I'm going to speak to you who are lost. And he quoted a bunch of scriptures that make it very clear. And there's a fellow in the room walked out and said, well, I realize now I'm lost. And he didn't stay there very long. It was shortly after that that he realized, found out what he needed to do to be saved. So that little booklet can help you. There's a brown booklet. This is the salvation testimony of John Beckett, who has about 600 employees around the world. And this is his story about how he was saved, how he turned his life over to the Lord. He also wrote this little blue booklet, and these are available back there. This is a 30-day, day-by-day, steps to a little portion of scripture to read. First day, some practical explanation and application. Then you go to the next day. It's a 30-day called Next Steps to kind of help somebody who's maybe new at it get started in getting into the scriptures and beginning to learn how to apply the scriptures. If you want to know more about CBMC, there's a brochure on the back table. And inside that brochure is a schedule. We've got 10 or 12 groups that meet every week around the metropolitan area. There was one that met this morning at 6:30 out on Hillcrest. There'll be three that meet tomorrow, one of a morning, two at noontime, in scattered in around. So if you're not a part of a small men's group, the scripture says iron sharpens iron and man sharpens man. Scripture also says two are better than one. Playing the Lone Ranger, you're vulnerable, and you need to be involved in a small group of men where you can have some encouragement, some prayer support, find out that nobody's perfect. We're all struggling and dealing with trials and tests. And so we would, and in that brochure about CBMC, there's a schedule of those meetings, where they meet, the contact person, the time, and so forth. Feel free to pick those up. One last, there's a couple of Bible reading plans back there on the table. If you've been reading your Bible, that's good. If you'd like a new approach, there's a chronological Bible reading plan back there. The chapters and the books in the Bible are not in chronological order, they're grouped. So if you want a little different approach to reading the scriptures, there's a chronological reading plan. Travis is back there, he'll be able to point out which one it is. We also have a new members kit that consists of a Bible and several other items designed to help someone who is new in the faith. Maybe you got saved a long time ago, but you've never grown. The Bible talks about babies in Christ, babies needing the sincere milk of the Word. The Bible talks about young men and children and mature. This is designed for the young baby Christian or the child Christian. So if any of you be interested in that, I just brought one to show, but if you're interested, make a note on that card and give us your contact information and we'll get that available to you. Okay. We appreciate your coming. We sponsor this luncheon on the second Thursday of every month and hope you will feel led to come back and join us again and bring somebody with you. Let me close with a word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for gathering us together here. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through Jim Schock. Message of hope, messages of support, message of encouragement. And we pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ was exalted and that there's anybody in the room, Lord, that doesn't have that connection with you through Christ. Pray, Lord, that you would deal with them individually by your word and by your spirit. Open up their eyes of their understanding and enlighten them with truth. And then have them get in contact with us if there's any way we can be of help to them. Dismiss us now with the awe and wonder of how great you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming.